How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Bird Request Part 2.
It's time for your sunrise guys, Dirt and Sprague.
First we get the bard out.
Andy Dirt Johnson.
That's the American Woodcock.
Brandon Sprague.
Then the American Crow.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Keep up the request, guys.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Bird Boy, Dirt and Sprague, Swag, we're all hanging out today. Good morning. Got a solar eclipse, a lunar eclipse, a lunar eclipse. 9:12 p.m. tonight. Put it on your calendars.
9:12 p.m. If I go outside and look at the moon, okay.
It's good for the sex.
It is? Yeah, it's a sex moon. Is that what they call it?
That's what they call it.
Gets the juices flowing.
See what that looks like at the ballpark. Should be about the eighth or ninth inning, hopefully. Then.
Boy, it's depressing. You just live at a ballpark every day, which is cool to some, but like I'd argue when you have to wake up at 4 a.m.
Set up a cot in there in the booth. Just go take a nap, man.
Just come in from the ballpark.
Oh, all right, time to go. Here we go.
Is that Swag showering here again?
Swag, what are you doing, man?
A lot to get to in the second hour. This happened yesterday. And no, I'm not talking about Jed York's arrest video.
Yeah, that did come out yesterday.
Although disgusting to find out he's a Yankee fan. That hurt my soul.
Also really funny to hear the cop go, like, why are you doing this, man? You got all this money. You can do whatever you want. What are you...
There's an element, like, he's very public figure. He's worth a lot of money. I'm not... There is a part of me that watches these, and I'm like, ah, dude.
You feel bad for him to a certain extent.
It sucks to have all that release. It's already been bad enough.
He's an absolute piece of crap, but I do feel bad for him, too, for a little bit. Also, the sheepish look of, like, you know that guy's taking a dump in his pants. He is freaked out. What did I do?
Yeah.
What are you doing here? Just driving.
But something happened yesterday, and I thought it was pretty massive news. We haven't gotten to it yet. And so we need to talk about it because I think it is going to fly under the radar until it becomes massive news to everybody else out there.
Oh.
So I'll tell you what I'm talking about.
That's a dirty tease right there.
In the second hour. Let's step into the cafe. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning. I'm hungry today.
Are you?
I already ate and I'm still hungry. It's one of those days.
I had a nice little breakfast. I had some chicken breast, over easy eggs, slight amount of rice, and a cooked hash brown.
Sounds like a solid breakfast.
Blended in a bowl.
Do you want me to ship you some fettuccine alfredo? You get a carbo load tonight? You need a carbo load for your run? Just bring you a big platter?
One of my favorite episodes.
Got a carbo load. Carbo load.
I love that.
Are you going to tape up your nipples so they don't chafe?
No.
Cover those nips.
I'm going to join me and my friends. We're going to dip into a cab, go eat a nice lunch, have them drop us off
there
the finish
go.
Line.
Now we're talking.
That's what we're going to
do. Hey, we're at the coast. Let's go grab a beer.
Let's get to a lot of what we need to with the audio. But first, the special today is an homage to an old and a goodie to a lot of people locally here. It's one I grew up on because I had family in Battleground in Vancouver. Today's special, we're going to call it the Fatty Patty.
I love a Fatty Patty.
Fatty Patties was a staple in the Vancouver Battleground area once upon a time as a breakfast institution. And they used to have a special called The Slop.
The Slop.
And it was exactly what you think it was. It was literally everything.
Mixed together.
Mixed together with white sausage gravy all over it.
Yeah. Yes.
It was delicious.
I can't say yes fast enough to that.
So I've been thinking about that lately because I loved the name Fatty Patty. And we're going to have the homage to Fatty Patty. So there you go. That's the special today. Let's dive in.
Water up. Swing and a line drive. Short base hit. This will score McClain, and the Reds have come all the way back. They have scored seven times in the ninth and have taken a 10-9 lead.
So that was Reds radio on the call. I pulled this largely because I saw the highlight, and I wondered, did my co-host see this?
I saw a tweet about it, but no, I was not watching.
The Reds were down 9-3 in the ninth inning against the Giants, and they came back and scored seven in the ninth. They won the game. And by the way, you've noted this. I don't know if I've seen Giant fans down this bad, dude. There was nobody at that ball game.
It's a day game against the Reds, who, by the way, also blow.
They're not good. I totally am acknowledging
nobody,
it.
Yeah, good. You shouldn't be at the game.
There was nobody.
Can I add something funny to this too? By the way,
yeah.
You can't hurt me anymore. It's kind of funny. My team has not had a sweep all year. I don't believe...
You haven't swept anybody once?
I don't believe they've ever had a season in franchise history where they've gone an entire year without sweeping one opponent.
Wow.
They won the first two games of the series. And that was for their first sweep of the year. And they blew a six-run lead in the ninth inning and lost 10-9.
That's tough.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Swung on and popped him up. First base side. Son of Factor coming on now. The second baseman. And Bassada makes the catch with a snow cone in the webbing. He somehow got it done. Man. Bailing out Lowe, who was battling the sun.
Yeah, WTAM Guardians Radio. Travis Bassada gets the final out. And the Cleveland Guardians, somebody break them up.
Here they come.
They've won seven in a row. They're hot on the White Sox heels in the AL Central.
Yeah, I mean, only 2.5 games out in the division. Seven in a row, as you mentioned, 8 out of 10. They got over a 60% chance to make the playoffs. There's still a lot. I mean, you look at the wild card rankings, too, or standings, I should say. They're ahead of a lot of teams, including everybody in the AOS. If the Guardians were in the AOS, they'd be in first place by 2 games. Mm. Tells you how bad that division is. But it's been fun, man, to see Bassada have that kind of year. Cleveland making the playoffs would be great.
Order up!
Boy, with no context, you're like, what the hell is happening in this clip?
Who got naked? Am I naked? Well, are you naked? The swag naked?
The Braves walked it off yesterday. I thought they were going to lose. They had a couple moments where it's like, all right, come through here. We win this game. They couldn't. Dodgers came back, I think, in the seventh and tied it at 5. And they ended up walking it off. And they ripped Kim's jersey off. And then they showed a bunch of the tarps off boys in the 300 section.
Shaking their shirts around.
That's why he's saying, he's naked. They're naked.
Everybody naked.
By the way, Padre game, forgot to mention. Everybody tarps off in the 300 section corner. Just a huge amount of guys taking their shirts off.
Seems like it's the new trend in sports.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, because when my team did it, I criticized them. Remember when, was it against Wisconsin that Oregon fan did it last year? And everybody's like, dude, you're
winning.
You're in the top
it's
five.
It's supposed to be for a losing thing.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, is that Braves fans, you know?
I'm finding the whole
you're
gimmick.
You're in first place. It's you're in the division.
Out.
You're, you know.
But we took the season series from the Dodgers.
You swept them, right? Wasn't it a sweep? Did you sweep them? Was it a sweep?
Give me a second here. I should know. I mean,
you guys don't know? I mean, I'm not watching any baseball.
I've watched both these games from start to finish.
Wasn't that a getaway day? Wasn't that a sweep?
No, that one was a late start.
Late start. Okay, so today's getaway day?
I think today is getaway day.
Got it. Okay, so you have a chance sure to potentially
yeah, today's,
see them. Maybe?
It's a 4:15 start. Is it a four-game series?
No, they wouldn't play tomorrow. Today would be the last day of the
series.
Yeah,
you're right. Today would be the last day. So it's not a getaway
maybe
day.
Maybe the Braves
I guess.
Are playing somewhere else in the Southeast where they're not traveling
there
very far, and so
point.
It doesn't have to get an earlier start. But nice win because you want to chase them for that number two record in the NL, and you get a couple in a row, you win today. I think you're only one behind the Dodgers for second best record in the National League.
Well, and even if they lose, that win secured that if they finish tied in the playoff standings, they'll have home field if they play the Dodgers.
Suck it, Dodgers.
Yeah, suck it, Dodgers.
You see Magic Johnson getting tied up into that stuff now, too, by the way?
Oh, was he committing
fraud?
He
got hundreds of millions of dollars funneled to him from an insurance company that was also owned by Magic Johnson, but also, this web is going to keep getting thicker.
I mean, it kind of actually speaks to the triggering and the wounding of everything that has surrounded Kuminga throughout his career. I don't know right now that money or team is the most important thing to him. Wants an opportunity. Like, he's now been on two teams, and they haven't given him the minutes that he desires.
Right.
And so that must have been what, I can only guess, maybe that's what the holdup was.
Yeah, there is a Willard and Dibbs, 95-7, the game in the Bay. Jonathan Kuminga struck a deal with the Minnesota Timberwolves, 2 years, $12 million. Let's just write this one down, another one on the old list. The Blazers were reportedly interested and tried.
We tried!
We tried!
We did it again!
Yeah! We wanted him so bad that we couldn't beat $12 million deal.
Put him on the We Tried banner. Jonathan Kuminga next in a long line of guys that we have attempted to get but unable to get. He is a very interesting player. Is there any hope there that he can turn into something?
Not really. I just think that's an okay move for the Timberwolves. It's a guy that at any given moment can just give you 20.
No doubt about it. And he's length, and that would have provided some versatility to your roster. But
How has we tried and we couldn't beat a $12 million two-year deal?
What were we offering?
1 year, $10 million? I have no other reason to
believe
otherwise.
Can't do that, Zach.
Well, part of what they were talking about was in one of the explanations or when they announced the contract, there was also, there was a declaration or something that alluded to the fact that he appears to be assured a starting spot with Minnesota.
Ah, maybe we couldn't promise him that, and he wanted a chance to start. Him playing only, I didn't realize this because I saw the news that he signed yesterday, and I thought, man, we tried again, that's stupid. And then I wondered to myself, how did he do, because I remember him getting traded to Atlanta, and he went to Atlanta, he played 16 games in Atlanta. In the back half of the year, he only played 22 minutes a game and averaged just literally the same numbers he did in Golden State.
He had a couple breakout games for them, but yeah, largely was the same player. It's not a make or break for me.
No.
It's just like, I love the Blazers tried. It's like, we tried to beat a two-year $12 million deal. We couldn't do that.
Couldn't do that.
Tommy Two Nichols?
Try it again.
All right. Kuminga is a wolf.
Order up. Yeah, I can't even comprehend this stuff. Yeah, it's wild. I don't know enough about it other than the fact that guys that can be in NFL camps, if it doesn't go down for them, they can go back to college. I mean, that, I feel like I took a freaking gummy. It's true. I mean, I'm looking at this stuff. I'm like, surely that's not real. But I just try to stay in my lane. But I would say it's very unique and it's very different. You know, it's wild. That's what I would say.
Who is a coach? Let me ask you guys this. Is there a coach of any rival or team you don't root for or even really like that you loved? Because I, as a Niner fan, the Rams have been a thorn in my ass now for X amount of years because he's good. I love Sean McVay. I mean, obviously we know how good he is, but like his personality is really funny to me.
I think Andy Reid's like that.
When he was with the Eagles for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, how could you hate Andy Reid?
You can't hate Andy Reid, dude. You can't. McVay is really hard to beat.
Has there been a UW coach that you've been like, I like him. I hate the team. I like him.
I mean, Kalen DeBoer scared the crap out of me, so there was a thought of like, I would have loved to have him as my coach, but I also loved my coach simultaneously. So if he had come in a different era, when Chris Peterson was playing Willie Taggart, you know, that was probably one. Like, God, that guy's good, and he's an adult. And he's not swag surfing, and they're going to the college football playoff, and that's pretty cool, man. I'd like all those things.
I love it. I thought I was on a gummy. You do gummies. Thanks for acknowledging
that. It feels like we're all on a gummy sometimes when we talk college athletics.
Swag. If Sean McVay came to Portland, randomly stopped by here, and was like, "I'll do a gummy with you tonight, and we can walk around Portland," would you finally give in?
That might get me to do it.
Might? You have to. Yeah.
This is going to happen. It's not even an anti-stance by Swag.
No, I know.
Like, this is going to take place at some point. We just got to, once hop season is done, let's, like, let the schedule calm down.
Should we air it? Should we watch a game together with Swag on a gummy?
I don't think we need to air it live, but I think we could release clips of it, you know? Like, how you feeling right now?
Is Mrs. McVay along as well?
Yeah.
What about Mrs. Met?
Well, you know.
Mrs. Met shows up. Talk about somebody else. I hate that team. Mrs. Met shows up.
I'd like that as my mascot.
Speaking of that, have you guys commented, did I miss on Rose, the new fire mascot?
Yeah, we did that earlier this week. We talked the smoldering fire and
as people note, it looks just like the dragon from Shrek.
Yes.
That falls in love with the donkey.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Like exactly the same.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, you're a girl donkey. Of course you're a girl dragon. Of course you are.
I think these reps are still so important. I know, you know, we look at all this as such a big picture thing all the time, and but I still look at these reps for a young player as really important. And he's had a really good offseason and a good training camp. And I still think these reps are important for him to go out there and move the ball and move the team, put the ball in the end zone. And that's the goal.
Dirt, I don't know if you're looking at the drops page. Can you guess who that is and who they're talking about?
I know that's Kevin O'Connell.
Then you know who he's talking about.
Yeah.
Did you see? So this is interesting.
Yeah, what do you got?
Kyler Murray will start for the Vikings.
Yes, he will.
Vikings will probably be more competent. Kyler probably going to be in the running for comeback player of the year. What is it? It's most improved, whatever it is in the NFL.
I got a Vikings NFC North ticket.
Good call. There is a report out of Minnesota. Not a report. More of a... There's a
rumbling.
A rumbling in Minnesota.
A whistle in the wind.
They legitimately might release him. That he has been so bad, and now he's injured. injured. Yeah. I love that he's injured.
That he would, had he been healthy, he most likely would have been the emergency quarterback for week one.
It's a fun game of like,
wow,
who's had, because this is kind of going on in Atlanta right now with Tua. Like, Tua was in a race by himself because Penix was hurt, and he might be their third string quarterback. He's been so bad. It was like, you lost a job that you weren't even running against anybody.
Right.
Like, of who's had the worst camp.
It's
J.J. McCarthy. Deshaun somehow won the starting job, but he probably would have been in there anyways. That's more of a sign of Cleveland.
But Tua, Cam Ward is in this, right?
He's Cam Ward's had a really rough preseason in camp for
Tua
sure.
Tua at least has something in his resume.
No doubt. That's what I was going to say. And Bryce Young, by the way, not a great camp. Had multiple interceptions yesterday against the Texans. Tua's at least made the $200 million contract.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't get every cent of it. He's been to the playoffs. He's had a moment. McCarthy is staring down the barrel of all-time bust pick.
It is.
If they release him or trade him.
Oh, 3 years into his career?
I mean, you don't even really count year one because he tore his meniscus. So, of 1 year of actually playing for the franchise that picked you and they move on that quick, if that happens.
Right.
That's all-time bad pick bust stuff.
And you're going to look back as a Viking fan and think about, man, we traded up to 10, right? Because I think they traded up to 10 to get him, if I'm not wrong. Brock Bowers went 3 picks after that. Like, you go down the list of guys.
Sam Darnold and Brock Bowers.
Right, Jared Verse was after that.
Man.
Now, Quinyon Mitchell has been really good in Philly. Like, that's just to name a couple of guys off the top of my head.
That's not to mention the other quarterbacks that were in that draft.
Right. We all get things right sometimes and wrong sometimes. This was one that I feel like everybody who watched college football,
everybody,
unless you're a Michigan fan, was in unison on.
No doubt.
This guy's the Jimmy Garoppolo of college football. They win games with him attempting 9 passes. Why would you take that in the first round? It never made sense at the time. Mm. It didn't go well year one. He gets hurt. Year two was a disaster. And I will always respect organizations who just say, you know what?
You know it when you see it.
Hand up. We screwed up. Cut bait and get the hell out of there. Because what's the point of keeping him up? You know he's kind of a little bee behind the scenes too. And he's complaining that they took him and he's not starting. Like, I could totally see that guy being an attitude problem guy in the locker room.
Niner? You see that with Niner?
Without a doubt, dude. It is weird. I'm going to brush my teeth left-handed today to open up that side of my brain. Like, you still suck. It doesn't matter. Just get him out of your locker room, dude. Get rid of him.
All right. You know what? Swag was right. We got to carry the cafe over. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to push my... This is massive news, and we're all going to feel it and talk about it, but it's not being talked about, I think, enough. We'll get to that at 7:45. Back with a little more cafe. The food's good. The drinks are rolling. It's a Thursday with a Friday vibe. Cafe rolls
on. Super busy.
Exactly.
Service is a little slow today.
Service is a little slow. We have more cafe next on The Fan.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. 7:28 on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you Hood to Coasters got all your rental vans. I got mine yesterday. Let me just say this.
Are you going to decorate the van? Are you a van decorator?
You put your name and, you know, how many kills you get along the way. But
people you cross, you pass?
Yeah, everybody you pass, you count as a kill.
Got it.
So you just, you know, tally it.
Yeah.
No, I don't overly decorate.
Yeah.
Some people are really good with it.
Yeah, put a cool design on it.
I more care about space inside the van.
Yeah, that would be a little cramped in there.
Well, we got a 15-passenger, and I took 2 rows out.
Ooh.
So you have a whole section to stretch and lay down in.
That's a brilliant idea.
Thank you.
Look at you.
Shout out Brandy Joseph for the original idea, and now when I rent a van, that's what I do.
Hey, if I'm running the Hood to Coast, I'm running in that van, all right? Let me lay down, stretch my legs out.
Can I just say, as somebody that just experienced the rental car process in San Diego from the airport, ours is far better and accessible from our airport to our rental car port. But if you're renting a car and it happens to be at the airport, it's a terrible experience.
To go there, but you're not landing at the airport. You're driving there to go get your rental car.
For me, I'm a local, right?
Right.
So I needed to meet my wife so she could take my car home and I could pick the van up. I'm having a short-term park. You have to navigate where she's meeting me.
Where do I go? Where do I head to? Yeah, much easier if you're just landing, you get off the plane, you walk out, and you go get your car.
It's way easier. Like San Diego is land, get yourself out of the San Diego airport, which seems easy, then hop on a shuttle, then drive 10 minutes away. You know
Insanity.
What I mean? It was a pain in the ass.
Insanity.
And Portland's is like off the bird, through the airport, right outside, there you are.
I would like to politely thank you for funding the Moda Center renovations. You renting a car in Multnomah County is going towards the county tax dollars that will be funneled towards paying toward the renovation. So on behalf of all of Rip City, I'd like to say thank you.
You know what?
For your contributions.
I'm happy that my tax dollar is going to making my seat and my experience more enjoyable. And as somebody who grew up in Multnomah County and no longer lives in Multnomah County, I'm glad I could participate
Look
in this
you.
Endeavor.
People helping people.
Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague coverage on the Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. We had to roll on with the cafe because we have more audio. We need to be up in arms. Look, there's a lot of issues outside of our sports worlds where we should be unified.
Yes.
Not screaming at each other, but screaming like, stop, 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 stop. And we don't. We get mad at each other over dumb crap. But in sports, we need to be up in arms with pitchforks over this. And I'll tell you what that is at 7:45. But let's roll on with the cafe.
I don't know like what exactly went down or how I did it. I'm gonna be honest, I really don't know. I just it was like an incident of me missing the ground or missing my footing or something like that. No, I don't think I got tangled. I think it's something on my own.
Scary news for fantasy football people and Bengals fans alike. Ja'Marr Chase was seen hobbling, and then about an hour later did an interview, and that was him explaining what happened on his knee. Says a slight hyperextension. He'll be okay. He'll be ready to go week one.
Yeah, they're going to wrap him in bubble wrap. He'll be ready to go for the start of the year. This is the beauty and the curse of training camp, is it not? Because some injuries happen. You see the video of it, and you go, oh, my God. And then you find out that guy's out for the entire season. And then there's other ones where, I mean, rank the important players for the Bengals this year. I don't know where he shows up, but he's definitely somewhere in the top five. And if he is to go down and that's a significant injury and you're out for the year, like all the pressure, all the expectations, everybody looking at Cincinnati saying, can you stay healthy? Can your offensive line be good? If he were to go down in training camp, it'd be devastating. Instead, it's just a scare, and he's likely to be ready for week one.
I thought he did well, and I don't want to put words in Mike's mouth, but I thought he looked good. He moved around well. I think all that work, like I've told you guys the whole time, and you've seen it with your own eyes, like, he's put a lot of work into this, and I think you see, I think you see that in his, you know, getting away from center, making throws, et cetera, et cetera.
There's Kevin Stefanski, two-time coach of the year, offensive genius, and guaranteed to win in Atlanta on Michael Penix, who will not start their last preseason game. It's a very weird situation. Sounds like he's clear, but
why would you not play him? I don't understand this.
Well, and I don't know who's going to start week one. I don't know what to make of what's happening in Atlanta other than
Penix has to start, doesn't he? He has to. He has to.
Why is he not starting in the preseason game for a series?
I have no idea. Series. Why would you not give him just a couple of snaps just to get your feet wet, throw a ball or two, even if it's the, what was Herbert, 3-and-out last week? Like, just go get a cup of coffee, stand out there, feel what it feels like to be on the field again, like call play in the huddle. Like,
feel the rhythm.
Yes.
Feel the rhyme. Get on up. It's preseason time.
If you start anybody other than Penix, if I'm a Falcons fan, I'm boycotting. I don't know how I would feel about him. I was certainly higher on him, and it has not gone well early in his NFL career. You never say never. Guys turn it around.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you start Tua over him, or what's the other option? Cooper Rush?
Cooper Rush. He's been terrible.
There's no he is your starting quarterback.
Order up! First, everybody doing what they're supposed to do, and it's really hard, 11 guys, to get them to do, you know, their assignment, you know, their technique, their job. I mean, it's never perfect, but you want to see that level of crispness and execution. It's execution. That's what you want to see the most, you know, and you'll see that we're improving there.
So I had to listen to this three times before I sent it. Did he say crispness? Or is he saying Christmas?
Crispness. How's your crispness today?
I thought he just equated everybody syncing together as Christmas.
Wow.
I was like, yeah, well.
They all get together, open up presents. He's not wrong there. You're on the same page. It's a Christmas.
Jim Harbaugh about Chargers camp so far.
Yeah, or you've got to find out if you're crisp, man. Injuries on the offensive line certainly don't help.
Not great.
Josh will not be playing Thursday. Okay. No, I think Josh is on a really good man. I love how he's spending it, how he's playing football right now, and you know he's obviously leader of our football team, and you know he'll be right there with me. Hopefully, I'll let him call some plays. You know, maybe on Thursday, he wants it all the time. But Josh is in a really good place.
There's first year coach Joe Brady. The Bills play tonight, 4 o'clock on NFL Network against the Steelers. Quite the extravaganza tonight. You've got Steelers, Bills, Pats, Browns, Niners, Raiders, and Rams, Chargers. I was going to get to an NFL segment, but the cafe went long, and I think we need to be up in arms. I'm going to ask this question because I think eventually you're going to touch on some of the NFL action
tonight.
Yeah,
we'll get to it at some point, yeah.
Would you bet any of these teams or the field to win the Super Bowl?
Any of the teams playing tonight?
Any of the teams playing tonight, would you take the bet on all of those teams or the rest of the NFL is something you can ponder over?
Oh, that's a good question.
And by the way, I pulled that on Josh Allen not playing tonight. The biggest takeaway actually from Bills camp, Joe Brady and Josh Allen both publicly like asking for grass. They're
it's a big
done
deal
with turf.
Yeah, I mean, Allen is a bit of a golden child in the NFL, and so his weight, his voice carries some weight, if you will, and so I'm glad that he's speaking out on that topic. Now, this one is on the NFL Network tonight. Have you seen any of their home stadium yet?
I saw.
From the first game?
Who did they play?
They played somebody at home. He played like the majority of the first half.
Yeah.
It was really weird to me because it felt like I was watching, like, you lose. The new stadium looks beautiful in some ways, but the camera angle and the way it's portrayed on TV makes it almost feel like I'm watching a game in Jacksonville. Having grass for Bills games threw me off. You're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Because you're just used to them playing on turf forever. The seats aren't as close to the field, and so you don't see as much of that kind of atmosphere, if you will.
That's like what happened with New England to me.
Yes, it's kind of weird when you watch it.
When they did the new stadium, old Foxborough felt like everybody was
right on top of you.
Packed,
yes.
And then it got corporatized. And so everything gets massively spaced out.
You got half of a mile on the sidelines. Yeah. That is a great question about tonight's slate.
Think about that.
I'll noodle on that.
Ponder it. We'll get to it because there's a lot of games tonight. Would you take, so it'd be 2, 4, 6. There are 8 teams playing tonight.
I mean, throw out the Browns, throw out the Raiders because that ain't happening.
I just throw them
but
all
But everybody else.
Big
like,
lump sum.
Sure, yeah.
Would you bet any of them or take the field?
Order up.
Nah, I mean, I got to do my job. At the end of the day, they have to do their job. So I'm never the one to go out there and complain about X, Y, and Z. That's not me because at the end of the day, I can control what I can control. Everybody on this in this organization, on this team, has a job to do. So who am I to go out there and tell and try to do other people's job? You know, my job is to come out here and get better as a football player, lead this team. So ultimately, when November, December, and those months come around, we can win football games.
There's Jaden Daniels not answering the question about how he feels about the offensive line of the Washington Commanders, which has reportedly been a disaster.
Funny, that was the case last year, too.
Feeling a little C.J. Stroudish right now, and I like Jaden Daniels. I'm just like, if you don't have an offensive line,
yeah,
we've seen it just messes with you. It ruins everything for you. I don't know what the Commanders are going to be. They are a handful of team that I would say you could sell me on both scenarios, being bad again or, you know, coming back to the forefront and being in a conversation.
Yeah, he's in a very unique spot. The expectations were so high a year ago, and everything crumbled around them. Look, not to pump up my guy too much, but watching guys go through offensive line issues and struggle and either not be able to stay healthy or survive a season, to me it puts into context and perspective how good Herbert was in the regular season last year because they had a historically bad offensive line. And they won 11 games and still went to the playoffs. And his numbers were decent at the end of the year. It's not an easy thing to do and survive as a quarterback. He's not the biggest guy. He's not the strongest guy. He certainly relies a lot on his athletic ability. But if he's got to run for his life on every play, he's going to be good for a couple here or there that make you go, damn, that was a hell of a play. You just cannot survive as an offense long-term if you cannot protect the quarterback.
And finally, Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague wraps up with a local note.
When I talk about Brady, that does not mean that I have an indictment on anybody else and how they played. It is just really, truly highlighting him as a person. And it does not mean that the other players did not showcase the things that were necessary as well to be the starting quarterback. Brady just rose to the top, and that's just how it was, okay? All right? When the statistics all were laid out, his numbers were just a little bit better than some of the other ones. I will tell you this. In the event that we have to turn to one of those other quarterbacks, for whatever reason it may be, I have full confidence that these guys will be able to go out there and perform to a point where they all were completing the ball right at about 78%. equally across the board. And so it was a tight race. There were a few other factors that factored in, turnovers, all right, putting the ball in jeopardy. And I think I kind of mentioned those things to you guys before, but that's what brought Braden to the top, okay? Team was excited about him getting this opportunity, all right, and we want to make this fun for him, but also give him the chance to right now get prepared mentally to be that starting quarterback.
Jamarcus Sheppard, Oregon State, on the decision to make Braden Atkinson the starting quarterback for the Beavs, who also, by the way, he spoke to the media yesterday. I took most of it down, but very young football player type responses, not a lot there. But the key to his recruitment for Mitch Dahlin at Oregon State was the Mercer-Auburn game. He showed out, and Dahlin heard about that because he was in the state of Alabama with Sheppard.
Yeah.
And so that's what led to the relationship building. But there's Jamarcus Sheppard on the Beavs' new starting quarterback.
Yeah, look, I think it's a respectful way in the modern era of you don't want to throw anybody under the bus. You're not going to come out and kill the guys that didn't win the starting job. You don't want anybody to enter a transfer portal. You're going to need depth, and you don't know if you're going to stay healthy at that position. So you always got to be complimentary of everybody on your roster at all times and think about the words that you're saying as a head coach. So I thought he handled that well. And I'll maintain, man, like, the completion percentage thing in practice is kind of funny to me. But besides that, if I'm a Beaver fan, this is the guy that I want to start. It might explode in your face and be terrible, and he's, you know, the Mercer kid that we saw against South Dakota in the playoffs throwing four picks, and it's a disaster, and Malik Murphy starts by week four. I don't know. But I would rather roll the dice on somebody who I could say is a sophomore, has a little bit of upside. We paid him to come here largely to be our starter. Malik Murphy only stayed because he didn't have a lot of other options. And I just, there's a ceiling on what Malik Murphy could do. We've all seen it. And so roll the dice and see what you got, kid. We're going to see it in 2 weeks.
There we go. Cafe Day, Dirt and Sprague, the extended edition today on a Thursday morning. It's a Magic Hat Thursday, but coming up next, we need to be up in arms about this right now. I'll tell you what it is on The Fan.
Hey gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are gonna move. We are gonna answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a lot more to get into. It's a Magic Hat Thursday. We'll dive into that in the final hour. I occasionally am guilty of being scatterbrained in the sense of, like, I have eight things thrown at me at one time, and I want to talk about all of it instead of just, you know, spacing it out or holding it or never getting to it.
Focus on one thing and dig your teeth into it.
I want to get to the up-in-arms thing that I've teased now for about 45 minutes, and
very curious what this is.
But very quickly, our good friend Terry Boyd, of Terry Boyd's World.
Yes.
Just told me during the break in the exchange into the urinal.
Yes. You guys took a leak at the same time?
He got his seventh hole in one yesterday.
How about Terry
and
Boyd?
Had to pay a $1,000 bar tab. And I didn't say it, but I was thinking, like, I ain't doing that.
Sprague didn't pay that. Your bill wasn't $1,000. You got food and beer out of the deal.
I ain't doing that.
You smited the golf gods. Maybe you're still paying for it all these years
later. There is a number that every person alive would tell you, it's not worth getting a hole-in-one if I told you you had to pay a certain price.
Absolutely.
You haven't had one. I don't know what your number is.
Yeah.
But there's a number.
It's a benefit of getting one at a kid's course when you're in sixth grade. There's no bar tab.
Popsicles for everybody.
Nobody's. I'm not buying anybody anything, man. I don't have any money.
Pops on me. Okay. All right.
I mean, it is. You bringing this up as a rant every now and then is a really funny thing.
Because I'm right.
There's a lot of validity to what you're arguing. It's absolutely absurd.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's just one of those old things that's stuck in golf and we cannot get rid of for whatever reason.
Now, didn't it used to just be your foursome? Like, you bought your foursome?
See, here's the thing. That usually is what the case is. But when you're at a country club, like, he's a member at a place.
That's
like, you
true.
Go back into the bar at the clubhouse. It's different. Like, he plays
they
there.
They were doing a tournament.
It's at a tournament. Yep. Like, if you're just, if the three of us are out playing golf.
I would buy.
Right, like, hey, I'll get you beers. Like, if I got a hole-in-one, I'll buy you a cocktail and maybe a beer at after the round. Like, I'll cover your drinks for the rest of the day, but it's not going to cost me $1,000.
All right. We'll get to the third hour. I have to get to this. I am outraged by it, and I think everybody else will be if they're not already. ESPN announced they're eliminating the live score ticker on the bottom of all their college football games this season.
Yes, they did.
You're watching an ESPN standalone game. You will not know the score of the other games unless you're on a computer, laptop, iPad, or cell phone.
You're outraged by this,
I am outraged.
I saw this
by
yesterday,
this.
And I was wondering what the takeaways would
this
be.
Is
now, was there a statement?
Ridiculous.
Because I imagine what they say is, with so many people now DVRing games or watching them.
That is not a reason. They didn't give a reason.
They didn't give a reason. They just
they're not doing it.
Just said we're not going to do it anymore. There's two sides of this for me. On the one hand, there is the nostalgia side at play, where the feeling of watching a game back in the day when we didn't have access to everything.
Yeah, you're just watching a game.
And you would see a score like fourth quarter, I don't know, Clemson's up 21-20 on Florida State with 3 minutes to go.
I need to know this.
Oh, my God. Oh, and then you'd be like, ah, it's on ABC, let's go, or whatever, right? Or if you had the channel, you try and go find it. There was the nostalgia play of like, I don't think younger generations would ever realize what the ticker used to mean, and it was our main source of information. I feel about the ticker in the modern time the way you would times argue about the sports update. I don't need it.
Okay.
I don't need it at
if
all.
If you have, not very often you have standalone situations, right?
I'm watching four games at the same time simultaneously. I have a game on my iPad.
But in the rare
And I probably have my phone up with the ESPN. I can check a score in a snap of a finger whenever I want to.
I'm trying to be present in the moment.
Put your phone down.
And if I have an Oregon fill in the blank versus whoever, and it's a standalone big screen game.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy, I want to know that Clemson might lose to Furman. I need to know. Is Penn State on upset alert at UCLA with Jerry Neuheisel? Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
These are things that are important.
Is that the way that you find out about them in the modern time?
I would say on a Saturday,
or is
mostly.
There a text message from us of like, oh, my God, what's happening with Penn State right now? And you go, wait, what's happening with Penn State? And you pull up the ESPN app.
But why did you know about that?
Because I was watching
it's on the
game.
Ticker.
I was watching the game.
No.
I had more on my screen than you did.
No, no, no.
I had multiple screens gone.
No, this is ridiculous.
I'm
going to
put this up as a poll question. I'm glad you brought this up because I had in my notes today. I'm putting this up as a poll question.
Why are you eliminating it? It doesn't get in the way.
I'm curious why it goes away completely. So either is it something technological? They're going more to 4K stuff, and there's something
they can't
formatting
make a ticker in 4K.
I don't know. I'm asking.
It is funny that they're not. Now, to my understanding, they didn't say they're doing this for like Monday Night Football, did they?
No,
it's just college football only.
Yeah. So what's that about?
I mean, it probably is they don't want you changing the channel. But again, I would highlight. That's stupid.
But making me want to change the channel to find something if I don't have it.
Right. To point this back in the face of ESPN, I have access to any score of any game in any channel I want at any time on an iPad
and phone.
Is
what they want.
And maybe you do to open up the ESPN app.
They want you on the ESPN app or whatever, wherever you access stuff. They just want you on the phone. And I don't like that. Give me my score ticker. I want to know the score. And I need to know, is Florida State really about to lose to Boston College?
Whose side of this are you on, Swag?
Wait, are you on an opposite? You're on the opposite side.
I didn't care at all. I laughed. There was a nostalgia play of like, oh, that's kind of sad that it's gone. And then I thought to myself, when was the last time I truly saw a score? And maybe this means I'm too addicted to my phone on Saturdays, but like I'm keeping an eye on what's going on. You're checking scores. Like I'm watching different things. Like I don't feel like I've in the last handful of years has been like, oh, now I got to go to
Unlike NFL, where I'm mostly watching Red Zone Sunday during the day. And they will take me to whatever
You're
game.
You're seeing everything that's going on.
I'm seeing
on,
all the important stuff. First of all, the commercial breaks are like 3.5 minutes in a college football
game. Yeah, that's when we turn.
The minute they go to a break, I'm flipping around and checking other things. So I think it's more common for college football games to be people record them or DVR them and come back to them. And so then it's not necessary.
Why?
You don't need the score ticker at that point.
I'm watching it delayed.
But it doesn't change. That doesn't change anything. What does that change?
I don't know.
You just named it. What do you mean you don't know? It was your point.
Well, if you're going back to watching other things.
If Dirt is on all fours in his living room looking up and saying, Oregon, please win this game in Columbus, and Iowa State is about to upset Penn State or Baylor's about to upset Texas Tech, he's going to be on all fours going, oh, God, that game's good, too. And he's going to still be on all fours looking up at his standalone game.
I don't think it's as important as you are making it out to be.
I think it used to be, but in the modern times, it's
not. I don't think you can articulate your opinion on it, and I think you're being a jackass. Don't take my ticker away. I need it.
You're grasping at a bygone era, man. This is a flip phone take from you. You're worried. You're getting your flip phone. You're not going to be able to check scores anymore. You need the ticker.
Next thing you know, you're going to want your newspaper back.
That Lincoln Riley might be losing to Mike Loxley in Maryland.
Go buy a landline while you're at it.
I need the ticker.
The poll question is up. Are you upset that ESPN is getting rid of the bottom score ticker for college football games this year?
Yes.
Yes or no?
My life is so pathetic that this actually upset me.
At Dirt and Frig on Twitter.
I was like, come on, man. We don't need to get rid of this thing. Who voted on this?
Whose decision was this?
This is like a data center. You didn't even allow us to vote. You just said okay to it.
The bigger issue yesterday was, you see the lead producer of College Game Day left.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I guess he hates Pat McAfee, and Pat McAfee hates him, so they're moving him to do, I don't know, NFL coverage or something.
I'm sure he's a good person. Hot take. I
was like, I'm out.
Was he the one that was like, hey, McAfee, every time you come out on a campus, I want you to stand on a chair and sing the fight song? If that wasn't his idea, I don't know if anything's going to change for that show.
If he was the one that told Dan Lanning to take his shirt off and lose to Indiana, I'd like to speak to him privately.
Was he also the one to tell Dan Lanning to take his shirt off and jump in a pool with a child?
Hey. That was for recruiting.
Did he get that kid?
No, he went to Texas.
Okay. That's
he decommitted.
That's what I thought. Give me my ticker back. All right, what are we doing here? There's dozens of us out here that are angry.
Dozens of us!
Dozens! All right, loaded third hour. We got the Magic Hat in the fourth hour. Dirt and Sprague back with more on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan.
What the heck is going on with all these promotional popcorn buckets? The giant shorts that all of Gen Z is wearing now? And whatever the heck Hyrox is? I'm comedian and certified hater Matt Bellassai, and these are the types of questions I'm demanding answers to on my podcast, What the Heck with Matt Bellassai. Listen or watch every Thursday as I rant about all the internet trends, pop culture stories, and personal mayhem that makes me scream, What the Heck? Follow What the Heck with Matt Bellassai wherever you get your podcasts.